Hi, my name is David Yak from Colorado Technology Consultants. In this session, we're going to be talking about client scripting. So client scripting picks up where you can't do things with the built-in drag and drop on the designer. You want to have a little more control over events that happen on the form. For example, on load, on change, on field. Still supported in CRM 2011, but we have new options for how to hook up to them, as well as some of the scripting that you'll be writing as you're working with those. So particularly in this session, we'll be talking through some of the JScript libraries, as well as the new client scripting model that exists in CRM 2011. In the past, in prior versions, you had to basically one place on a form, for example, to hook up an onload method. And so if you had three vendors that wanted to build solutions that all wanted to hook into contact onload, they'd all have to kind of figure out, you know, how to get their code into that one single definition of the onload script that would run when that form started up. Same thing for onSave. So onload, onSave are the form level events. You also have onChange for each field that's on the form. And the same thing applied there. You'd have one blob of scripting of JScript or JavaScript, ECMAScript that would be able to be provided there. And so essentially, if you had three ISVs, they had to make sure they didn't step on each other. Otherwise, the last one in wins, or whoever was, you know, the most smart about putting their script in there. So JScript libraries is a new feature in CRM 2011 that's designed to try to make that a little easier to work with. The idea is that you basically create a library of your scripting functions. That library can then be hooked up to a form and made available for use in the onload, onSave, and onChange events. It can also create dependencies where you're pulling in methods from other files. But the idea is that you can leverage the capabilities of the web resources. Now, I say leverage capabilities of web resources because JScript libraries are stored as web resources in CRM 2011. So the first thing you do when you want to use one is you basically upload or create a web resource that has the scripting functions that you're going to use. At that point, you can identify that to the form and allow to hook up that script library to one or more of the event handlers. You can hook up, I'll get into how many you can hook up in a minute, but basically what this slide is showing is that you can hook up multiple of these event handlers to a single field or a single event. So onload is no longer limited to just one chunk of script that runs. It can now have a number of things that can be hooked up to it, which means multiple solutions can hook up to the onload, onSave, or onChange at the field level, giving some flexibility. You also don't have to pile all your own code into a single method. It might be that you have some utility routines that you constantly use for certain types of field, whether it's for tracing or even just practical business purposes that you can hook up to be able to use. Real quick, as we look at the example that's on here, the function, you'll notice you get context as well as the parameters. We'll see that come into play when we're defining the event. The context gives you access to information about the form as well as the event that occurred. The parameter bag allows you to specify the properties that are passed into the script that you configure, and we'll see that example as we get into it. This is an example of the form, and in fact, let me just kind of jump over and show you an example of this in actual use. I'm going to go over to the people entity here. And imagine we want to customize this a little bit. So we want to do something where we want to have an onChange event fire whenever the person type happens. What we might want to do is go ahead and define a new library. So just to kind of bring us to here, we've got person type. In this case, it can be a trainer or a gem member. We're in the context of the Contoso gem solution that we're working on. And so what you can do here is, obviously, you can come into the properties on here, go to events. This is very similar to what you would have seen so far in respect to how to get to the events. But you'll notice there's some differences here. First of all, this is where you'll basically be able to pull down the, pick the events. Right now it's just on change, but you can see it's kind of set up to allow some future expansion if needed. You can also define form libraries. So before we can define, this is where we'd hook up the event, we'd do an add. As it says, you must add at least one library to the form to be able to do it. The form association of the libraries is done once. You don't have to do that for every field. So I can do an add. And notice this is pulling up the web resource dialog looking specifically for JavaScript libraries within there. I don't have any right now, so we'll go ahead and do new. Notice it prefixes the web resource with your name. We'll call this my member type index.js. Say member type routines were going to be of type script English. I'm not, now best practice here is, you know, depends on your perspective, but one of the things that you can do, you got two ways that you can edit this. You can click here and edit inline, which I'm going to do just for the example here. The other thing you can do is you can browse to a script file. The nice advantage of browsing to a script file is that it allows you to version control, source control that file, allows you to edit it within Visual Studio or your, you know, scripting editor of choice, giving you all the flexibility, all the power of those tools. But if you're just doing, you know, a quick one-liner type thing, you know, maybe you're writing a function on change of member type. We'll keep this real simple for right now, because what I really want to focus on is how to hook this all up. So we've got a function. I'm going to remember the name, so hopefully we can pull that back in. We'll go ahead and save and publish this. Close out of that. We're going to pick that as our library. And then down here, now that we have a library associated with that, we should be able to hook up that on change. And so this is where you'd pick the library that you want to pull the function from, specify the function, indicate that it's enabled. This is, remember I mentioned that you can pass the context, so this is where you'd pass the execution context, so that gives you access to some information about the event and the form. You can also pass parameters to it, so you know, maybe you have some generic utility routines that you you know, have multiple purposes through the parameters. You could configure them at the time that you connect them up. You know, maybe I have something that does automatic calculations, and what I'm saying here is the field that you know, the target field that's going to drive that calculation. So it gives me a lot of flexibility in being able to reuse things. And so we'll just go ahead and connect that up. And just for conversation's sake, remember I said that this is available once you've associated that library. Notice if I come into this other one here, so I'm on the facts field now, that library is still there. So I don't have to go reassociate that every time. It's there once I've done that. And now I've hooked that up to that event to be able to do the on change. So with JScript libraries, you have a fair amount of hookup that you can do. You can hook up to 50 scripts, web resources to a form. You can also hook up to 50 event handlers to an event. So that gives you, I think, more than enough flexibility to be able to, you know, reuse what you do, partition things into manageable pieces, so you don't have to have, you know, huge libraries that have thousands and thousands of lines in them. You have some flexibility to be able to control that. Another change that happened in the scripting area is around the actual client scripting model that you're working with. I think everybody's familiar that's done prior versions with crmform.all and the, you know, the hierarchy of the objects that are there. One of the things with that is the model was very tied not only to the browser DOM model, but also the idea that only a single control would exist for any given field attribute. And with the changes in the multiple forms, with the changes in being able to put multiple fields on a form twice, and a number of the other structural changes with how forms work in CRM 2011, there's some desire to start moving away from that into a little bit more separation of the data and the UI controls that are there. And so that's where it leads to a change in the API model. There's a new model that exists within CRM 2011 that you can work with the API. The crmform.all still exists, so if you have code that's working with that, as long as you're doing supported type stuff, you should be okay. But if you're doing new script coding, you're encouraged to use the new model and follow that. And once you start doing that, you'll see that you have some advantage to that. For example, if all I need to do is get the data value of a field, there's no reason I need to care about how that control is presented, which tab it's on, or any of the other characteristics. I just want to say, get me the data and get the data value back. Conversely, if I'm doing something on a control, I'm not as interested in some of the data aspect. I may want to hide that control, show the control. Same with at the tab and the other layers. The other thing that happened here is we wanted to get to where we had more of the common things that had to be done unsupportable to bring back online so that you could do those within the API that was provided. Things like being able to hide navigation items, hide tabs, you know, work with the different pieces, refresh a grid. All those are things that you know you want to be able to do just from the API model that starts out of the box. You also don't want it to be more as DOM-based, so try to abstract the caller from a lot of the implementation that you'll see there. So this is a new look at the client object model. You'll notice that there's a separation of the UI and the data. You get to this just like you used to use CRM form, XRM.page is how kind of the gateway to access all of this. Like I said, CRM form will still be supported, but you're encouraged to use the new model. You have an abstraction layer that kind of hides the differences. So as you go off and to look at the different ways that this API can be used, whether it's from the web client or is in different variations of that, you want to be able to have that scripting model sit in front of it to shield you from that. Also, if all you're interested in working with data, that's also a particular way you want to be able to go in after the data. Now, it's interesting to mention that in addition to using this for the scripting uses that we have on the form, so like with on-handle events, you may find that you have customizations, things that you upload, whether it's jQuery HTML-based resources that you upload that interact with the form elements that may need to get data from the form, or a Silverlight component that also needs to get data or may control hiding and showing things on the form. You're going to use the same client scripting model to be able to reach back into the form to make them go through the model. What you don't want to do is depend on the HTML DOM or look in the unsupported techniques. Those things can break as you move from one release to another. As you move to CRM 2011, it's a good opportunity to look at some of the unsupported things you were doing and see if it's now supported by the client API model and if you can shift to those during your upgrade to be in a little more supported path for doing some of those techniques. This is just another look at the XRM page. You'll see that there's quite a bit of things that are there. At the high level, you can get to the context, which gives some general overall, what the server name, what's the organization name. From a data, this is where you're going to reach down, be able to get to the attributes, what's the entity ID, what's the value of a particular attribute, or be able to work with it. You can also navigate back from the entity side to controls, so if you do need to traverse looking at it from a data and say, hey, what are all the controls that are representing this on the UI, you can walk through it that way. You can also go at it from the UI side. So over here, we're looking at the UI property that's from there. From there, you can get to controls, navigation, form selector, and tabs. Form selector is particularly interesting. It lets you, with the role-based forms, allow, if you need to, through script, be able to drive changing from one form to another. Maybe you're driving that off of data. You can do that. But also keep in mind, oftentimes with the role-based forms, sometimes you're better off using the tabs and the sections and doing hides and such, and hides and shows with that, because it's not going to cause a refresh or a reload of the page. Those happen inline or instantaneous. The user doesn't see the same reload type thing. Just looking at it a little bit differently and diving down a little bit deeper, you see on the UI side, as you get into the controls, so you can get to the different control pieces, tabs. You can walk through the nav items. Maybe there's times where you want to cause nav items to hide or show based on other data fields that are on there. And finally, just to look at some of the syntax difference. So this is to make it a little bit more tangible in terms of what it looks like. If you used to be doing the crmform.all method and you're converting to the new, what does this mean to me? You're going to see that you've got a little bit different structure of things. So for example, in this one, if I'm going against, just want to get the data value and work with that, then what I would do is I basically would do entity.attributes.get. Now, a lot of these methods have overloads. So in this example, I'm passing a name revenue. You'll find that it also provides an overload that I can pass a zero for an index of zero field, and many different ones that you might want to use as you're pulling through. What that gets me back is the actual attribute, and then I can do a get value or a set value against it. And so in this case, I'm doing a set value of 1234.5 is equivalent to doing the dot data value equals. Now, in some cases, you may see the syntax as being a little long-handed, but also at times it also shortcuts some of the things that you were doing with the scripting, and it certainly cleans it up a little bit from how you would reference it when you had multiple controls. And things like that, you're going to find it is easier to do the data value or the new approach rather than trying to go back and figure out what fields on the form that you need to go after. Disabling a field, so disabled equals true, you would now get the field, the control. Again, get provides overload so that you could do it through name or a number. You also can iterate through all the controls, so maybe you want to find all the controls in a section. There's some helpers that allow for each to iterate across all the controls that are in there. and then I'm doing a set visible. So in summary, the new JavaScript libraries, the JScript libraries, allow flexibility to hook up a number of different reusable files to use on your forms. In a solution, you can upload those as part of the solution, making them available both online and offline clients, but also more importantly as part of the deployment process or distribution process as that moves out to the marketplace into your customer's solution, installation. As they work with it, you can hook up calls through the events on save, on change, on load to be able to call those. You also have a new scripting model that you can take advantage of. The new scripting model is fully aware of the different changes in the forms, so things like multiple fields being able to be placed or multiple controls representing the same field on the form, all being able to be worked with the new script. As you're looking at converting, make sure to go back and look at your unsupported techniques, if there's things that you can switch over to using supported techniques on the new client API model. That will make you much more supportable as future changes happen so you don't break from future changes.